Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hey friends, before we get into this episode, I wanted to take a second to address the June 24th Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion, and as you know, restricting access to reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of every single American. And you definitely know as a listener of this podcast that it could also lead to the loss of a whole bunch of other rights that definitely affect all of us. To learn more about what you can do to help, go to podvoices.help. That's podvoices.help. And I encourage you to speak up. Please take care and spread the word. Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and this is a very special week because we have Brian Safi on the podcast. You've seen him on 911, on your television, on You, on your Netflix. He hosts Throwing Shade Podcast, Attitudes, Ask Rana. I mean, podcast legend, TV, writing, acting, comedian legend is here on the podcast, but I want to tell you, when I did record this episode, I was on my final days of being positive with COVID-19, but girlinas, I'm negativo. Oh, what a thrill to say those words. The first social event I went to as a negative girl was a bris. Mm-hmm. I did tell a coworker and she was like, what? Is that like a bar mitzvah? I was like, kinda. I did not explain it to her. I wanted her to have that fun journey while she Googled. I am excited to be a slut for this 4th of July weekend, and I hope you are the same. We deserve it. I don't know about you, but every single person I know has had COVID in the past couple weeks, so I hope you're out of the woods if you had it, and if you are currently dealing with it, I salute you. We're all soldiers. This episode is so good with Brian Safi. He not only gives an incredible answer to What Made Him Gay, it's a movie I have never seen, but it is a top priority for my next watch. I'll just tell you, it's The Gayer Parent Trap times two. If you can imagine. We also discussed the Bette Midler tweet where she is like threatening gay people. So fun to get Brian's take on that. Of course, you should follow Brian Safi. I put all the handles in the show notes, along with following us on Instagram at GayAssPodcast. I am so, so grateful you've been listening during this Pride Month. We've had so many great messages come in about the podcast and the guests themselves, and it makes my fucking day when I hear from you. Enjoy this episode. It's one of my favorites, and happy end of Pride. Brian, yeah. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start, babes.
I know, babes.
It's just like there's too much because you are everything that this podcast craves, which is stardom,
sure.
Brilliance,
BDE.
Attractiveness,
yeah,
BDE, G-A-H, gay as hell.
Thank you.
And also you are A-L-B, read a lot of books.
That's right. I am that. I do read a lot of books. I just read a book. You know what? I'll tell you the two things that take me out of my brain. The three. Number one, L'amour. Number two, le book. Number three, le meditate, le candle.
Sure. Wow. So what about L'amour?
Oh, yeah. No L'amour. L'amour is... L'amour is sort of like on the back seat right now as I go through. I don't know. I'm just like not into that right now. It's not the track.
When would we say calendarily, datedly, was the last kiss you had that you felt electricity go to your fingertips?
Probably like a few months ago, like maybe toward the beginning of the year, something like that.
A winter kiss.
A winter kiss. What about you? Are you with somebody? I don't remember.
I am married to a man, and he's been out of town for the past 2 weeks, Brian.
Uh-oh.
This is the longest I've been by myself since the pandemic started, and it's been partially gorgeous and partially he chose to leave 5 days before I got COVID.
Was that his, like, farewell? Did he give it to you?
No, which is so weird.
That would have been very romantic. Like, okay, yeah.
Can you imagine? He had it right before I had it, and we slept in the same bed. I just, like, assumed I would get it.
Yeah.
And then I never did, and then he went out of town to go to a wedding. I stayed in town, and then I went to a pride event. Actually, a pride event of a person who you have recorded on your iconic podcast with, the Miss Trixie Mattel.
God bless. I love Trixie.
God bless. Yeah. We love, I mean, such a fan.
So and smart, so funny, all of it.
All of it. And then she also hosts very popular events that attract a lot of people who might or might not have COVID. So I did get COVID from that event. However, I got it to the point of like, oh, like, you had it. Like, that's what people say. Like, oh, you really had it. I just, like, got super sick. And we also just adopted this dog 2 weeks prior to Matt leaving. So I was, like alone dealing with my COVID and with the dog. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the other side of it now. Am I still testing positive? Of course.
Sure.
But I'm day 11, Brian. I think the end is near.
Do you feel hated by God?
Actually, less God and more Trixie Mattel.
Sure. Are you taking an antigen test or a PCR when you're trying to get this negative result?
Okay, doctor.
Yeah, that's
Jesus.
Right. I've been through it, honey. I know it.
I'm taking, what does it mean? The ones that...
The rapid.
The rapid. I'm
okay.
taking rapid.
Okay, you're still testing positive. Okay. All right.
That means I'm still positive,
It
right?
means you have long COVID for sure. Yeah, it's not...
Don't say that to a neurotic Jew, Brian.
I'm kidding. You don't. You'll be testing negative any moment now. And then you can go to another super spreader and you'll
exactly.
be risk-free this time.
I mean, I hope so. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is that, like, I was a slut at a Trixie concert, and the next thing you know, God is smiting
me. It does feel
me.
Slutty to get it, and I don't know why, but I've had it. I had it once, and then I had it again. And the first time I was like, well, everyone's getting COVID, and the second time I was like, I feel like a
dirty
hoe.
Whore.
Yeah. Which, like...
Were you doing hoe activities to get it?
No, I was
time?
Like, I was out of the country and I was doing a hike. Like, that was the big thing. I went to, I did the Inca Trail in Peru, which was pretty cool. Okay. It was like a 5-day thing.
Oh, one of my notes about you is that you are such a traveling man. I'm so jaloux.
I am a big, I do like to see the world. I do. And I like the world to see me.
I mean, listen, girly. Honey. If a tree falls in a forest,
that's right.
And there's not a camera following you, watching that tree.
If anything happens in this world and I'm not there to witness it, it did not fucking happen. Period.
So, period. End of story.
Yes.
When you were on this Peru hiking trail?
Yeah.
Did it happen to be during the winter and your first kiss was actually on the trail, and that's when the electricity happened?
No, this was just a few weeks ago, and there was like absolutely no kissing to be had on it. I think I might have been the only gay person on it for like millions of miles. I didn't get any vibe off anybody. But I have, like, I'm really bad at that, actually. I don't really have a good, unless I'm at like a queer event, I don't really have a good sense of like who is and who isn't.
Oh, the dar.
I don't have the dar.
Which, like, I feel like that's a dated term.
I think it is, too, because now, like, I don't know.
Everyone is everyone. Although, you know, it's controversial because it is dated, but also, dare I say, it's still a thing. Like, when you're, like, you're questioning, like, when you're with someone, like, is there any part of them that biologically wants to touch peepees?
You're right. One time I was at a bar in Brooklyn, and I was peeing.
Ooh.
And someone just put their hand right in my stream.
In your stream?
Right in the stream. And didn't look at me or anything. Just kept their hand there. And of course I stopped because, like, my pee only flows when I am feeling good, easy, breezy candles. And no candles were lit during that moment. So of course I stopped and froze, and he kept his hand there. And so I just moved to another urinal. Yeah, it was surprising. It really surprised me.
I'm just trying to breathe this in because that's not where the story went at all that I thought it would. Was he kind of, my visual I'm getting is like, you know, like in the Zoom Zoom commercials, just like a hand out the window while the car is driving and your hand is going with the wind. Like, they were doing that into your urine stream.
They were. I was like, God, this, before I clocked that it was in my stream, I was like, this hand is living the life. Like, this hand is on a road trip. It is tossed all cares or any stress out the window.
Now I'm picturing ballet hands. It's fully just like
fully
gorgeous.
Ballet, absolutely beautiful. Isadora Duncan, Hungarian beauty.
Mirth, kind of, I don't know. I wish I had new references.
Mirsa hands.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, people, you know what? I'll say it today and I'll say it always. People like pee. Some people like pee.
They do. Which, great. Go for it. I mean,
go off.
Isn't it supposed to be like antiseptic? That's what people say. I don't know if that's true, though.
It's always also the question of like when someone gets a jellyfish sting, like on the recent Beverly Hills Housewives, and they were like, who's going to pee on Diana? I think that pee, dare I say, you know what? Two things are having their moments right now. Mm-hmm. Pee and feet.
Those are just having moments now.
I just feel like I'm noticing on, like, dare I say, smut Twitter.
Sure.
dirty internet, that people love toes and feet these days.
I wonder why.
It must be a reaction to something culturally. I don't know what it is.
Sure.
But it's got to be something about, like, feeling grounded by tonguing a toe.
Definitely. And it somehow is pandemic related. I've yet to figure out how, but it's something tied to the last 2 years.
We're still figuring out how the pandemic has changed our tastes.
Absolutely.
Sexually and otherwise. Like, what is a food you think you eat now that you, anatomically, what's a food you eat now that you don't think you ate before the pandemic?
Well, definitely this shit that I'm addicted to, which is the Zevia ginger root beer.
Zevia sounds like a disorder.
It's not. But it's created one for me where I'm just full-blown addicted to it now.
Can you give us the pitch as to why it's so good?
Not really, because it's not even that good. It's basically just like stevia sweetened root beer. And I love root beer. And I didn't realize how much I loved root beer until the pandemic. And then my friend Arden got me a can. And she was like, give this a whirl.
Next thing you know.
She was in a phone booth. Michael J. Fox was outside it. And she was like, listen to this, and held up a can of Zevia, and there I was.
Wow, a tale as old as time. Yes. I guess it makes sense that the name has to do with the stevia that's inside of it.
Exactly.
It's all coming together. I'm a girl that loves root beer. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, where there's a place called Fitz's, and Fitz's is famous for like making their own root beer, okay. And they have cream soda. Which is, would you say, is that a cousin of root beer?
Yeah, it's a cousin, but I don't like it quite as well. But some people like it even more.
Which we don't judge them for that journey.
No.
There's also a place in St. Louis called...
Yeah.
There's a place called Carl's where they would like have like a giant like...
Barrel?
Wooden barrel of root beer. And then it like, they put it into a frozen glass. Like very Beauty and the Beast, Gaston at the, you know what I'm talking
about. Of course
about.
I do. Are you kidding me?
Like very that. And then you have like a frozen that glass full of root beer.
So
it,
good.
Brian, oh my God, one day.
It's in St. Louis.
I don't know why this would happen. It's in St. Louis.
We gotta go.
One day I want to be at Carl's surrounded by straight white men and then... us just like tonguing
going
the root beer.
To town. I'll just chugging this root beer while
and then we're
going to
be singing. Yes. No, I don't like that.
That's right.
And then we turn it into a full musical number, and then Ryan Murphy is filming it.
And then we have an exclusively gay moment. Remember when the movie had an exclusively gay moment?
What do you
That's
mean?
That's how Disney was promoting it. There was like in the live action version.
Yes,
Gaston and Gaston's like henchman.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Gad. Yeah.
Oh my God. Why don't I know? I've seen the movie 25. Gaston and.
Yeah, whoever the and is. Isn't that sad? We've absolutely straight washed that movie.
Yeah.
That was the one character. We can't remember that character.
And we only remember the character we want to fuck, which is Gaston.
Sure. But also, he does have a song about him, in all fairness.
In all fairness, titular song.
I want to say totally. And I also want to say. His name is, I don't know his name. I don't know his name.
It's like Basquiat, but not.
Yeah, totally. It does seem French, like La Flanure or something.
Oh, Lafou.
Lafou. Lafou. We got there. Lafitte, Lafou, Lafou, Lamour. Yes.
Lafou is the fifth. There were so many trains that left the station during this conversation that I wanted to back up to. And sure. Here we are. You know what I've been doing that's been not a great reaction, but the only one that I can think to do is during my COVID stay is emotionally eating. I've just been ice cream after ice cream after ice cream.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like what my jam... Well, I'm sort of out of that now, but I definitely was like... I guess sort of like there's a place here called Brady's Bakery that has like a cookie. And I got to tell you, these cookies are it's that kind of cookie that like you watch on TV and like if they have such a thing as cookie, where you're just like, that's not a cookie. That's a 10-pound ball of dough that's been lightly baked in the oven for 5 seconds.
Done.
Yes.
Check and
you
check.
Basically
wait,
eat
what?
It with a knife.
You're in LA, correct?
I'm in LA. Where are you?
What? I'm in LA. I just moved here 6 months ago from New York. I am like just south of Silver Lake. It's called Rampart Village.
I know exactly where that is. I'm in Silver. I'm just north of you. I'm in Silver Lake. We're so close.
Wait. So tell me about this cookie spot.
It's called Brady's. I just order them. I've never actually been, but it's like a true like. It's just a gut bomb. It's just a huge
gut
bomb.
This is huge for me because in New York, there's a place called Chip that is a stealing the idea from Levain, but they've marketed it better.
Okay.
Love Levain. And so what Chip does is every single day on their social media, they'd be like, and here are today's flavors. And there's new flavors every single day.
Where is it? I'm going to New York next week. Where is that?
So there's one in, it's like on Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village. There's another one. There's a few in Queens, which I was living in Astoria.
Oh, cool.
But then there's, I think they're popping up all over, but like the one in Manhattan is in Greenwich Village, and they're just like that, the bomb of dough that makes you feel disgusting.
Levain now sells their shit at supermarkets, like in the freezer section, but I don't know anyone who's tried one. How have you?
I think I maybe have tried when I went on a family vacation, I think a year or two ago, my brothers are being very sweet. And they're like, we're gonna order things from all over that we love. Chicago deep dish for my younger brother.
Cool.
Lives. New York, we're gonna get H&H bagels. And I don't think they listen to this podcast, so it doesn't matter. I'll say this. All the things that they ordered, I guess the pizza was pretty good. It's all just like the C+ version of the real thing.
Right.
Like, and I'm not the type of person that's like, I only go to New York for my bagels and everywhere else. But they were ordering New York bagels, but the bad frozen version of it. And
right.
I think Levain is along those lines.
Right.
The frozen version is like
just not the same.
And if I may be honest about Chip too, it's so good in person, but you can purchase them to ship them. And it's like $70 for like a cookie and a half.
Totally.
And you're like, who are we doing this for?
Yes.
And the thing is about my emotional eating now is it's like I found that my grocery store in New York, I never had like a Kroger brand. I never had like.
Sure.
Whereas in LA, my Ralph's is
Kroger
and the ice cream they have that's like $4.50 for like a giant vat.
The Kroger brand?
Yes. And it's good ice cream.
I love a store brand. I love it.
Oh, we love a store brand.
We do.
I just.
Iconic.
It's been.
Queen.
It's been not good for my body, but for my mind, it's been comforting because I've literally nothing else except the walls.
Well, I guess, especially like while you have it, it's the most boring. First of all, what sucks about COVID is you get sick and that part sucks. But then when you're getting better, it's just fucking boring.
I am bored out of my mind.
So boring.
And you know what it does is it unfortunately like makes me feel like I'm less, this is dark. It makes me feel like I have less value as a person.
Of course. No, you're second guessing everything. You're constantly shame spiraling and thinking
it's a lot of shame.
Questions of self-worth come up. Like,
yeah, I'm like, I've never done anything. I will never do anything.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Why did I choose to live in, why did
just
I choose
so you
to
know,
live a life?
Every single person I know who's had COVID goes through that part.
That makes me honestly feel better because I'm like, what is wrong with
me? And I got to say, when you're out of it, because it happened to me both times I had it. When you're out of it, it goes away.
You were sent to me from God.
I'm here for you.
Girl God above. I needed to hear that because, I mean, like, even like, I remember actually on one of your, I think it was Attitudes, and you were talking about how you felt like your voice sounded crazy. I feel like I sound insane, which like, in reality, my voice has mostly come back, but
right.
I really was giving like.
That sucks.
I sounded disgusting.
Yeah.
And like, you know what happened? I was recently on a Zoom call with a bunch of people for this work thing, and I got the thing. I've actually made a video making fun of this because it makes me so uncomfortable when people get phlegm in their throat.
Ugh.
And they won't and they can't.
And,
they
can't you're just dying for them to clear it.
They're your time. I became that person where I was like, Eric, take your advice and stop the train and just clear it. So I was like, and so anyways, and then yeah. It was still there. I was like, uh-huh. And like, it like took like three tries. And I was like, do I mute myself?
I know.
I was like disgusted by my, and again, the shame spiral of like, the old version of me would have been able to clear my fucking throat.
I feel like whenever I'm on a Zoom meeting, not necessarily recording, but just if I'm in a meeting for something, every other part of my body, except what's on camera, is like trying to do something else. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like my legs are trying to do this and are trying to get out of here. My hand is like writing something down. My other hand is like pinching my wrist or something because I'm so annoyed that I have to do, you know what I mean? Like, it just.
Your knees are shaking.
Nothing is cooperating.
I
have total RLS. Nothing is in sync.
You're fully twerking out of.
Yep. Out of horniness, boredom.
Well, that's what's really, really disappointing about COVID, too, is that I lost all sex drive.
That's what
for,
I mean.
Like,
it's like nothing fun about it.
Nothing. I was like, I can't even like feel horny myself. Sure. Like that was ripped from me. Mm-hmm. COVID taketh.
Yeah. And nothing giveth until you're out of COVID and then.
Until you're out. I do want to hear about more of your travels because you sort of live, and I mean this genuinely, like I look up to you in many ways. You have like, you've written on so many amazing things. You've acted on so many amazing things. You have traveled all these places. Brian, what the fook is the secret? How did you get to this point?
Well, first of all, the travel thing came from the pandemic. I was so bored out of my mind that in 2020, I was supposed to go to England and Scotland. Didn't happen. I was taking my mom for her 70th birthday. 2021, I was supposed to go to Peru. Obviously, didn't happen. So both of these trips had to happen, or they were expiring like within a month of each other. So it was just like, I gotta go. And then my friend Arden last summer, like this was also during the pandemic, was like, my brother has a place on the beach in Rhode Island, and he's not using it. So do you want to go for like a month? And I guess what I realized, and I think what a lot of people realized, is like, oh, if I have to work, I can do it from anywhere. As long as I'm not shooting, you know what I mean? And I don't shoot really in May or June and the first half of July really at all. So while I'm working, I can work from anywhere. And so I really have just like tried to take advantage of that as much as I possibly can.
I think that is gorgeous, because at some point you just got to realize, like, if we're going to be miserable in one room, why not be in a gorgeous lake house in Rhode Island?
Totally. Exactly. Or like, why not be miserable and then just like go see a show that night? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like LA is, I really like LA. I'm not one of those people who says they hate it. I do like it a lot, but it just takes a lot more to go do something. It just does. That's just the culture.
Yeah. Do you ever fantasize about living in other places?
Oh yeah, all the time. I constantly, everywhere I go, Rhode Island, New York, England, Scotland, like anywhere I go, Northern California, Oregon, anywhere. What about you?
If I had all the money in the world, I would probably do the gorgeous LA place with the pool, the small New York apartment to crash in, and then like I might be like a Nicole Kidman that doesn't do Nashville but does like
that idea.
That idea.
Yeah. The sort of Southern Oasis or something.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, it's, where's your family from originally?
Texas. So I grew up in El Paso and my family's from, they live in Austin, Houston, Florida, and El Paso now.
And I famously love Texas. Every time I visited for whatever reason, I'm like, I just like, you know what it is? I think it's partly that my bar was so low because of all the things that
I mean, yeah, it's,
hear.
Well, politically, it's a nightmare. Yeah.
Nightmare. Yeah. But then like when you're actually there, like Austin to me was
Austin's
like
wonderful. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so cool.
It's great. Austin's like a wonderful, wonderful city.
There are reasons why I think so many people, like politically, so many of these places are such garbage fires. But then if you were to actually only take the good things out of it, like the good things are really good.
Yeah, totally. Even Dallas has like great, you know, a great queer community there. And like, there's plenty of Houston. Houston's like a total food city. It's just the food there is incredible. El Paso is a perfect city to raise children in. It just is the right size. The people are so friendly and everything's homegrown there. And it's lovely. I think it's just the people who are in power, you know, Governor Abbott, Ted Cruz, like that's when things get bad.
Very bad.
Yeah.
I do, though. I think this might be a natural question to bring up since we're talking about growing up El Paso, being gay as hell. I want to ask the famous podcast question, which is, Brian Zoffy, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Babe, we blame Big Business, the movie with Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin. It's a direct line, babe. It's their fault because I got to say, A, that movie is just gay. You know, it just is, it just has the sensibility of being like, A, it's set in New York, and B, it's this idea of having a dual personality, of wanting more, of knowing you're stuck in a small place and then being like, I need to get out of here. There's something bigger for me. This isn't my people. But then there are two gay characters in this movie. And the
Brian, before you continue, I just need to be honest with you. I've never seen
that's
it.
Fine. You don't need to. By the way, it was one of those things that was like, I think
I do need to.
No, you do. You actually do need to see it. But it was
so
like,
keep on pitching.
It was like a super popular rental. Like, I don't know how it did in theaters. It was like one of those. It's Bette Midler, Lily Tomlin. Bette Midler plays a set of twins, and Lily Tomlin plays a set of twins. They were
what?
Yes, they were switched at birth. So instead of the two Lily Tomlins being together, there's a Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin who were raised together, and another Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin who were raised together. There's city Bette and Lily, and there's country Bette and Lily.
Wait. Yes. So you're saying that this is The Parent Trap times two, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Correct. And so one Bette Midler is in New York, one Lily Tomlin is in New York. They were raised together. One Bette Midler is in the country, one Lily Tomlin is in the country, and they're like bumpkins, and they were raised together. But then they have to go to the city. The country ones have to go to the city for the same thing, and they realize by the end, like, oh, wait, no, she's my sister. Oh, shit, she's my sister. And so the ones in New York are like Bette Midler's just like evil corporate, like running thing. She runs a horrible company called Moramax that does like animal testing. And she's like evil, evil, evil. Lily Tomlin sort of is like, this business has just never felt right to me. And I just feel so uncomfortable in Manhattan. Meanwhile, the Bette Midler in the country is like, the city's for me. And the country version's like, no, the country's for me. But anyway.
So wait a minute. So clearly the Bette Midler family that she was born from
is rich.
Rich and evil?
Evil. Yes.
And then Lily Tomlin's like the actual like...
like Dolly Parton, Coat of Many Colors family.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yes.
What does this say about Jews? I'm kidding. But like Bette Midler, like what? Like what? I mean it...
Yeah. That's, by the way, I'm sure it is rampantly anti-Semitic.
They're like, it's truly just like trying to paint a picture that Jews run businesses and they're all fully evil monsters.
Yep. That's exactly right. But there are two characters in this who are in the corporate world who are gay and who they don't say it, but then they're like waking up in the same bed together and one of them's wearing a super short robe. And I remember being, that was the first time I really clocked it. And I was like, that's kind of sexy. And then they try to have a threesome with one of the other characters, but like low key, like they're not saying like it's like you recognize this is happening, but if you didn't know any better, you might not know at all.
A threesome with another man.
With another man.
Are these men like middle-aged, older? Are we younger and hot? What are
Well, it's hard to say because like, you know how like everyone, I think this movie came out in like 88 or 89 or something. You know how everyone.
Everybody looked 50.
Everyone looks 50. So I think they're probably like 30s, but it was more just that it wasn't that they were even like super hot. It was more just like, oh my God. And just a guy wearing something really short that would just fucking did it for me.
So did you see this movie as a young person?
Oh, and Fred Ward is in it. Recently passed away. Who's like so hunky. I saw this movie. It was the first thing I saw that really profiled New York because it's all set in like the Plaza Hotel. Like that's where all of the like mishaps happen between the two twins. It's so good. And it's like 80s glamour. You know, it's that. It's like they all want to be Alexis Carrington, like that whole thing. But I think I first saw it probably around the time you were able to rent it. So like I was probably like 7 or 8 or 9 or something.
Oh my God. What a pivotal.
Totally.
When you were this young or even watching it further as you were growing up, did it make you want to move to New York?
Oh, for sure. Oh, like I was like, well, so that's that.
Which is so funny how I feel like young gay people, queer people who don't know that they're yet queer, they just like feel pulled to the big city. Mm-hmm. To you don't know why. Like, why do I want to be in Times Square?
Yeah.
It's like, there must be something scientific about that.
There
I
must
don't know
be.
What it is.
Just this idea of, well, also I guess it was just a place where like in movies where people are from New York, maybe there's something recognizable about there being more self-expression or.
Yeah, yeah. And like acceptance of differences maybe or like or like more anonymity even.
Yes.
I don't know. Because I literally was in fourth grade and at my elementary school, someone who had graduated from the school many years prior had gone to NYU Tisch Cap 21's musical theater program.
Oh, yes.
I knew nothing about anything. But as like a full 11-year-old, I remember seeing like a wall of like where the alumni had gone to college years after they graduated. And I was like, I'm going to go to NYU Tisch Cap 21. I was 11 years old in St. Louis, Missouri, knew nothing about anything, but I decided then that I was going to go to college in New York. And I don't exactly know what part of me knew that there were going to be so many gay people there. And you know what's really crazy? I ended up going to NYU for college.
See, so did I.
Brian.
And the seed was fucking planted.
I mean, we actually, business. That's kind of incredible though, that like you saw big business at as a young child. I saw some fucking like girl named Lisa Ann.
Sure. Loeb,
and then followed Lisa to New York City.
Yeah, I mean, it just did it for me. It checked all the boxes, and it, like, you know,
it's such a great answer. I do want to ask if you have any opinions about Bette Midler has recently tweeted that the gays are next after the Supreme Court decision about Roe versus Wade.
Right.
And I think some gay people are not happy about that. Where do you stand?
Well, wasn't she? I haven't read it, so I don't know. I should probably check out what she said. But wasn't it based on what Clarence Thomas said?
I think so.
Which was like, next we're taking down gay marriage or something like that.
Well, yeah, and it's like, it's actually pulled up. The tweet itself says, get ready, full caps lock, get ready, gays, period, you're next, period.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, like, if you don't know who Bette Midler, I don't know. I mean, Bette Midler's an ally, isn't she?
She is. I think what made me second guess it, because I was like, you know, it's Bette being Bette. She's also, and the thing is, this is said with respect and love, she's 70.
An older lady. She's a lady of an older age. Lady. Yeah.
And so she, I think, is probably well-intentioned. But then, like, Billy Eichner and all these people were like, oh, no, not Billy Eichner. It was someone else who has been on this podcast, friend of the podcast, Carrie O'Donnell, I think, was just like, essentially, like, F you. Mm-hmm. Then someone quote tweeted it, look at Bette Midler threatening gay people, SMH. I don't think she's threatening gay people.
I don't
people.
Either, I just, but it's also like, it's not a heartwarming or encouraging or anything. It's sort of like you make that warning. Maybe that's an Instagram post that then you go into what needs to happen, why,
yeah.
What the repercussions are of this, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit like Bette Midler's
behind
the curtain with a
knife. And I wonder if it was a little thing of just sort of like, and this was like something that popped up and I think did have legitimacy, but with people saying like, look, gays, we've fought for your rights. It's time for you to fight for women's rights, which I think the confusing thing about that for me was always like, well, I do and have.
I do think there's like, everyone's reactions are very valid, but I do think that while there are many a problematic
white, gay,
cis-gay,
racist,
white,
yes,
yeah,
totally,
that's like saying, like,
sexist,
making it about them,
all of it,
exactly.
Yes,
I do think there are more of the gays who are as horrified as they should be and wanting to do the right things, and I feel like there's been a little bit of like a outspoken, like, not blaming of gay people, but like, okay, I think actually the bigger demon here is not.
No, it's like
gay men.
Lawmakers. In fact, the bigger demon isn't even the gen pop with this issue.
Yeah.
With abortion, I mean.
Right, exactly.
But I will say, like, that is, you know, I think you're right. I think the problem is, like, not as huge as sometimes it's made out to be. I do think that if you are remotely misogynist or sexist and you are a cis gay person, you're a monster. Because
100%.
Because really, I think a lot of homophobia is just misogyny.
I agree. I mean, that's literally why the first thing you're made fun of when you grow up is that you're girly.
You're a sissy. You're a girl. You're doing girly things. You're acting like a girl. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, like, well, wait, it, just like the Hillary Duff clip, when you say something is gay is bad. Well, also when you're saying something is cis is girly is bad.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck cares?
It's
like,
a horrible actually, system.
I am pretty fucking girly at times.
Yeah.
And God, how cool would it be if I was...
If more people tuned into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think that for the sake of making it clear my feelings towards Bette Midler, huge, huge reason for my gayness. And I think that while she is threatening gay men on the internet, maybe unintentionally, she still is my girly.
No, of course. Yeah. Listen, like, it's very difficult to judge an icon based on some tweet that they may have not even written, but also not a great thing to send out, not a great message to put out right now, but we should focus on the fact that women have lost a fundamental right. And
exactly. And not that Bette Midler is her intern is right? Screaming in caps.
Yeah. I love Carrie O'Donnell though. He's so funny.
Love. Brilliant. So yeah. Funny. And I actually was watching one of, so this is actually two things. I was watching some of their clips on their podcast, and he was mispronouncing who is the singer of
Tovei Lou.
No, not Tovei Lou. I'm gonna sing a song, and you're gonna say the name of the singer.
Okay.
Picture like crazy symphonic harmonies around me, or like electro harmonies.
Where are we? What the hell going on? Imogen, whatever. What is her name? Like Imogen Heap or something?
Yes. So I think you actually pronounce her name Imogen Heap.
Okay.
And he, on one of the clips of their podcast, Carrie calls her Imogen, I think. And it was a gorgeous mispronunciation.
Imogen. Beautiful.
Which, like, I feel like Imogen is actually, like, a Toyota car that is a box from 1988. That's what I think it is.
I totally agree. Car names, by the way, have gotten crazy.
If we can make one thing clear. Car names have gone off the
deep end. My friend texted me the other day. In fact, I'm going to look it up right now, even though that's so rude. No, oh, there's a new car called the Nissan Kicks.
How do you pronounce it? I mean, how do you spell it?
K-I-C-K-S. It's K-I-C-K-S. Kicks. Nissan Kicks.
Who are they marketing towards?
I don't know. She just texted me that. She goes, do you know there's a car called Nissan Kicks? And I almost drove off the road myself just from hearing that.
God, I love a car. What is that? Oh, yeah, it's the new Kicks.
It's the new Kicks. Nissan Kicks. Bring your kicks. And I don't mean your shoes. I mean your car. Your singular car that's called Kicks.
I think you just earned a job at Toyota Marketing or Nissan Marketing.
Oh, God, it's all been an angling for it for a while. So
listen, all roads lead to Nissan.
That's right.
Car culture as a whole is really
boring.
Boring and horrible. And just like, you know what? Growing up, one of the ways that I knew I was gay is I didn't care about the cars my family was talking about. Like, right. I mean, just like, oh my God, well, what is that? What is that? Ooh, my uncle owns a classic car shop, I say. I mean, like, oh, it's actually a very, like, I'm successful, sure, like,
yeah,
cool. But, like, I never really actually cared about a souped up car.
I dated someone who was really into cars, and it was cool. Like, I sort of came to appreciate the design of a Porsche. You know what I mean? Like, I came to feel like, all right, yeah, I see how that's beautiful and cutting edge. And, like, with anything, I think even, like, with less so, I guess, with cars, but like with art and architecture, it is a reflection of the times.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's cool. But I don't care that much about, like, you know, for myself, I don't really care that much.
No. And honestly, when I make a ton of money, I actually still think I'm not going to have anything that's like outlandish.
Right.
Like, sure. Will I unfortunately maybe drive a Tesla?
Right. Yeah, we need a good competitor for the Tesla to come out soon.
I need I just want something electric that has an iPad that I can watch a movie and then get in an accident on the highway.
It has its own Spotify. Me too.
Yeah, please.
Tesla station, beautiful.
Please. I also, the reason why I bring up the Carrie O'Donnell podcast videos is the podcast videos for Attitudes podcast are so good.
Aren't they great?
I just want to give a shout out to your editor.
Showtime Chamaco. Sergio Lopez is his name. His handle's at Showtime Chamaco. He is
they're so funny.
Brilliant. Brilliant. He puts all those together and is just incredible.
Unbelievable. You also on Ask Rana had Jesse Tyler Ferguson recently.
Yes.
Which was just such a good episode.
We got him, I think, like two nights before he won the Tony or something. He was like, he was about to go to the Tony Awards and then won.
So, so cool. I have a question though. So Jesse Tyler Ferguson, of course, has perform in so many things we love, but I want to know, Brian, you get cast in a sitcom show that runs for 11 seasons. Can you pitch to me what the show is about and what your role is?
Oh, shit. Well, I love an ensemble show. I will say that. I think it's way more fun to work with people. And I'll be honest with you, it's probably a show about me moving to Florida with my sister and I have a good relationship with my family now, but I didn't for a while. And she was sort of the bridge to that. And she and I are like night and day different. It would be like if my family lived in Florida, me reconnecting with my sister and then reconnecting with my family through her. And it would just be because everyone in my family is just like my mom's basically Jessica Walter. Like everyone is just that.
Oh, I love that so much.
So it'd probably be that, like a fish out of water story that wouldn't be making fun necessarily of Florida, but would be calling it out for its idiosyncrasies. And then also, yeah, it would be fun to be in a show that, I don't know, just had an ensemble. That's my jam. I like working with people.
Okay, who plays your sister?
Oh, God. Meredith Vieira? No. I don't know. Amy Sedaris? Arden Marine?
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, someone told me recently they didn't know that Amy Sedaris and...
Even though my sister's younger, but yeah.
Sure. I mean, listen, Amy... someone told me they didn't know that Amy and David Sedaris are brother and sister.
That's wild. And I went on a date a few years ago that this person was older than I am, had never heard of Jimmy Carter. And honestly, like it was one of those things where I was like, God, am I really going to like judge a book? But like, is it really one thing that could turn me off from someone?
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, I think it could be.
Knowledge of Jimmy Carter is a must.
It's just hard to get over not knowing someone was a president when like you were alive.
What do you think was it a drug thing?
I don't think so, but I don't know. No, I don't think it was a drug thing. I think it was like just a dumb thing.
I think that's one of the biggest questions and difficulties with dating and even friendships is like you have to make so many split decisions about what actually is a deal breaker.
I also dated someone who was like obsessed with Elon Musk, and I never really knew where to land on that because I was sort of like, am I? I mean, I know where I land on Elon Musk, but I mean.
But you saw my trepidation even saying I wanted to drive a Tesla.
I know. It was like, one of those things where I was like, is this something I can't get? Like, I sometimes don't know where the line is of like, I actually cannot get past this. You know what I mean?
Listen, Brian, I want to tell you something that's vulnerable. I am married to a person who like 2 months in, and like, I'm a person who like is silly, loves comedies, writes comedy, boo, boo, boo. He told me he doesn't like comedies, period.
Right.
Like, doesn't like, and I was like, can we, I was like, unfortunately, I like you a little too much for this to like.
Right. This isn't going to crumble now.
I can't immediately end it right now, but I'm considering it. When you say you don't like comedies, he's just like, I don't know. And I think what I learned is that he was just saying it for shock value and was just like, he also was saying it out of ignorance of like not knowing off the top of his head. Cut to though, he does enjoy watching a lot of comedies and silly things, but he's more of like a horror girl.
Sure.
Like he's more of like, but I think if he had said that date two, would things be different?
Well, I will say at least with something like that, it's such a general thing to say that it's like you said, it's sort of like, well, what kind of comedy are you thinking? Are you thinking of like Kevin Can Wait? Do you know what I mean? Are you thinking you know, I don't know. I mean, that's such a broad thing. But if he had said like, you know, I was there January 6th, that would be a deal breaker, wouldn't it?
100 What if I was like, well, did he go inside the building?
Right. There are levels even to that.
Yeah. Well, what was the sign saying?
Right.
Yeah, no, I think there are definitely the black and white deal breakers,
yes.
But the grays. The grays are tough.
And I don't even know that necessarily, like, maybe for other people, the things I mentioned would not be deal breakers. Like, the Elon Musk thing to me was not necessarily a deal breaker. There were other things at play there, but...
Yeah. You have to take it all into context. Exactly. I mean, if there's 10 Elon Musk adjacent things...
That's very different.
Versus, like, one January 6th. Yeah. That's, again, the grays. I do want to ask another podcast question, Brian.
Please.
If the world was ending...
Yeah.
And you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I already mentioned her name, so I'm going to try and think of somebody else. First of all, I do. Can I name a few?
Of course.
The first person I would save is Jessica Chaffin, who plays Rana on Ask Rana, because she doesn't like when I talk about her versus Rana, but it's so fucking incredible. And it is, she pulls off something that I think is art, frankly.
I love that answer already.
And I just think she takes something to a place and takes her like craft and comedy so seriously that you believe it 100%.
I'll be honest. It took me a while to know that was a character.
That's what I mean. It takes a lot of people a while to know that. Even people in my family who like recently were like, wait. She's just not like an older lady you pal around with. And I'm like, no. Also, I'm not living in Boston right now. But because that's another thing on the show. So I would say her. I would say Diane Wiest would probably be another one for me.
Huge.
She's just incredible.
I think Diane, actually someone has said Diane Weiss somewhat recently, and I think it's an inspired answer. And this is not her most famous movie, but I always go back to Practical Magic when I think of her.
Listen, she's fantastic.
I think it ticks off so many of my boxes because I love a witchy magic moment. Mm-hmm. And to see, and then also the fact that Stockard Channing is also with her. Oh, it's like, I think there's nothing better.
I need to go see that. No, I don't think it's in theaters still, but I do need to see that.
You never know.
You never know. I think Griffin Dunne directed that, who was the guy. Did you ever see Who's That Girl with Madonna?
No.
He's like the lead actor in it.
Oh, see, I'd love finding out shit like
that.
I
know, me too.
Do you know what someone else referenced recently off the podcast I think needs to get her due? Is I think Sally Field needs to I had heard that when they were, a friend of mine told me that when they were doing Lincoln, that there was, it took a while for the movie to be made. And apparently it wasn't going to be, what the fuck is the guy's name that played Lincoln?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Apparently before that it was going to be someone else. And then by the time it was going to get made, they actually said that Sally Field looked too old.
Right.
And so then, and then apparently what she had said was like, I never ask you for anything, Steven Spielberg, so test me on this and then I will prove it to you. And then she got it.
Yeah, apparently she like walked in and he was like, hello, mother. Daniel, because you know, he's like in character all the time. And back then people would call each other. Well, Mike Pence still does, by the way, calls his wife mother, which makes me sick.
Wait, he actually does?
He calls her mother. Yeah. And also, I guess, I don't know if you know this, you know that she has a line of towel charms?
Of what charms?
Towel. Like beach towel, towel charms. So you know which beach towel is yours. I'm not even kidding. Karen. But you know, the original Karen Pence.
The original Karen. Yeah. How far we have strayed from the light. I just... It's,
yeah.
You know, every day we live on this earth, we Thank find you. Out new things Thank that... You. I'm just resting with that for a second.
Yeah. Towel charms.
If you had to go on to Shark Tank and pitch something adjacent to towel charms, what's your product?
Office supply jewelry. So like paperclip earrings, or you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a...
Wait, that's actually cute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something like binder clip bracelets, that sort of a thing. Or binder clip hair clips.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they're already halfway there anyway, you know. And I do.
I would
like,
wear designer glasses, but they're Scotch tape holders.
Exactly, exactly. That would be my big pitch. Yeah. No kidding. That was like a really good tape noise. It was like, I'm not even kidding. That was really good.
Wait, should I get a new career in
folio, honey? Just be like, I'm here for your Scotch tape needs.
But I specialize in Scotch tape.
I just do tapes.
There was a TikTok video I saw recently of someone who does that for movies, and it's just her filming herself like doing the heels on the carpet. And it really, there's so many things about movie making that you
wait.
That
what's
I just,
that account?
Like,
I like love that.
I'm gonna send it to you because I don't off the top of my head, but I'm sure it's in my liked videos. But yeah, it's great. I mean, it's like you like. There's a reason why. As a little kid, you always like try to make dumb noises. Yes. Like, do you remember? Like, I'm not gonna do it. It's disgusting.
Why do
like,
it?
There's like,
I'll close my eyes.
Yeah, close your eyes. Okay, hold on. Close your eyes. Okay, I'm relaxing my face. Okay.
What the fuck are you doing?
What if I was masturbating?
it sounded like that.
It's like you grab your cheeks and then you like.
Oh, you like swirl them around.
You push them in and out. Yeah, I can't wait to hear this back and hear how disgusting that
just sounded. It's going to be beautiful.
Anyways, Fully Artistry on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I do want to ask another podcast question.
Yes.
Brian, you aren't prepped for this, but I got to know, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh, man. No good answers here. I mean, not because of her oeuvre, but just because, like, I got to tell you what my favorite one is, and it's pathetic.
What is it?
Ghost.
I'm just relieved you didn't say Sister Act 2, which is my favorite.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. Oh, man, you know, it'll be a constant competition depending on what I'm feeling. Color Purple, Sister Act, Ghost. So
the trifecta, baby.
I'm going to say Ghost because I have like specific memories of like begging. My parents went out of town and begging the babysitter to take me to see it, even though I was like a child. And she did. And I remember being like, this is the most beautiful movie I've ever seen.
This babysitter was such an ally.
She was great.
Did you braid her hair?
No, but I did like absolutely do a 60 minutes interview with her about how she kisses her boyfriend. I do remember that. Like fully like sat down with her and was like, wait, so when do you kiss and how do you kiss and why do you kiss and does he kiss you and what does he do when he kisses you and what do you do when you kiss him? That kind of thing.
You were always an interviewer, first and foremost.
First and foremost, I've been Leslie Stahl my whole life.
That really takes me back, though, because I have a memory of not only like braiding my babysitter's hair, my friend's babysitter's hair, but I remember when I was older than I would like to admit, but old enough that this is appropriate. I was doing like an acting thing with a person that was like, we'll say 5-6 years older than me. And I had not done oral to many a peen.
Okay.
In fact, maybe even one at most.
Okay.
And so I was having her teach me
how to
suck dick.
Wow. What was she? Was she using a prop or?
Banana.
Yeah. And was it helpful?
So much. I learned. I became the Nancy Reagan of dick suckers.
Don't you love that about her?
The throat goat.
Yes. Oh, so fucking great.
Do you think it's real?
Yeah. I mean, I want it to be real. I don't care if she's dead or alive. I hate her fucking guts. So sure. It actually makes me sad that she would be that good at something, to be honest with you.
I know. It's hard to see villains have any talent at all.
It's true.
How do you think you learned how to suck dick?
I got to be honest. It's not my favorite thing.
I love your honesty.
I am sort of I am mostly a T.O.P. baby. And yeah. And that's sort of my vibe. Not that I haven't or don't, but it's just not like my number one favorite thing. So I guess I've never, you know what? I could be better at my craft. I could be better.
And I think the fact that you have said that is already showing the willingness and the openness to learn.
Thank you.
That's the first step.
That's right. I could be better, and I will be better.
And with that, I will say that having you on this podcast has been a dream and a wish for so long. And I want to tell you something. Not only have I been talking about you coming on this podcast for a while, but my husband, who does love you, was confused for a while because he thought I was talking about Josh Safdie, in Uncut Gems.
As in, I understand exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
I mean, I was Josh Safdie's muse when he wrote Uncut Gems.
But I did fucking love that movie.
I, again, didn't see it because I heard it was really stressful.
It is. It is actually like,
I was not,
I would not see it. I wouldn't see it in this day and age.
Yeah.
That was a pre-pandemic hit for me.
Yeah, you could take it then.
Yeah.
Where can people follow you, Brian?
You know what? You can follow me at Brian Safi, just a B, an R, a Y, an A, an N, an S, an A, an F, an I. Just follow me there, babes. That's it. That's it.
Brian, thanks for coming
on.
My God,
my pleasure.
Have a reunion episode so at some point.
I would love it. And when you're better and when I'm in town, we should hang out.
Done.
Doi.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Remember, you can go to podvoices.help to see what you can do to help fight for abortion rights. And if you like this podcast episode, hey, why don't you click follow? Click subscribe. It really helps as we grow this gay ass world to make it even gayer and asser. I love you so much. Again, happy end of Pride, and I'll see you next week.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.